Last week we talked about faith quite a bit, and without faith it is impossible to please God, and we discussed faith quite a bit. So how about your week that you've had since then? Did you have any ideas you want to share about faith, or Buckley?
I think faith is the substance that connects our physical with the spiritual. Without faith, there is no spiritual, because that's the communication between the two.
The verse says, without faith it is impossible to please God. You can apply that in a lot of ways. And you're right, Buckley. Without that connection, it's... Well, all right, we're going to move on. Then we're going to start verse 8. And we're going to read to verse 14. Who?
They,
Romans 1.
Mark's talking on the faith issue. Have not in our wing that class, but so many times we'll go through something in our faith walk with God that we don't understand why, especially if it's something bad. And then something that hit us this week was someone came to Bonnie, and they're going through something very similar that we had gone through. You know, and on the one hand, you've heard that they're having to go through it. On the other hand, you see how God blesses the situation and you can minister to someone because you've been through it. And it's really hard to relate to someone when they're going through a hard time if you haven't been through it yourself. Because you know, you don't know how they're feeling. You don't know the questions. But when you've got somebody who's walked through that, it can be a real encouragement in a way to minister. And I think that's part of the faith that, you know, we're not always going to see the why a lot of times, but we know who has God.
So would you say it was your faith that got you through that hard time?
Yep.
And so when you're helping someone deal with the same kind of situation, it is your faith along with theirs that will help them get through it. Okay. All right. So our faith isn't just limited to us. Our faith is an encouragement and a help to everyone. Okay, who will read? Thank you, David, for that. Who will read? Dustin's going to read. Go ahead.
Start verse 8 and 7.
Yeah, 8 through 15. Let's go through 15.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and gospel of sin, that without ceasing I mention you. Always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may know at last see and coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome.
Thank you. So this kind of reminded me of old Dave Coleman, that preacher we used to have. And he would preach the one another ministry, and it was fun. But anyway, verse 8: your faith is spoken of throughout the world. That's very interesting to me, because their faith could be seen by the world. How are you going to speak about something if you can't see it? So their faith was seen by the world and was spoken of throughout the world. So, what does our faith look like? What does faith look like, and what does our faith look like? What are people able to see and speak about when they look at this congregation? Are we showing our faith? Are we showing our faith to each other? There's a lot of questions. I should do one at a time. Through my works. Yeah. Right. Yes, the works we do is an indication of our faith. Tom?
I think as well. My mom was very close to the Rogers, mm-hmm. who used to preach here a long time ago, but now they're in Tanzania. She never met these people or anything, but she had gave them money to help their ministry and stuff. And so I think with some of your gifts, because God gives us all everything,
sure.
including money, and so if we're willing to share some of that to help spread the gospel around the world, you know, I think that helps in verse 8. You're spreading the good news elsewhere.
Right. And that is visible.
Right. And I've recently been able to, because my mom left me a little money, not a whole lot, but just a little bit of money, and I was able to share some of that money also with my cousin, who has a friend who's a Christian that lives in Cambodia right now. She's teaching English as a second language over there. But she's also doing Christianity things over there. So I gave her some money that she was able to send packages to these people so they would know that there are people around the world that care about them so much in their souls.
Mm-hmm.
Not about themselves, but their souls of eternity.
Right. That's good. How are we showing each other our faith? Well, that's later on in my notes, but I'm going to answer that question later on. verse 10 speaks of the will of God. Paul is waiting on the will of God so he can come to Rome. In our thought process, personally, yours and mine, when we want something or want to go somewhere or, you know, do something, do we quickly include the will of God as we contemplate what we want? Now, I am very quick when something good happens to me to say, thank you, Lord, and I am very grateful. But I am not very quick when I think about doing something and I'm ready to make a decision. I'm not very quick to consider God's will. So I need to work on that myself. So what about you all? Do you completely and quickly include God in your decisions? David. Go ahead, Joe.
I always, and in fact, I find myself saying it exactly the same way every single time. When I'm dealing with something or trying to put something together, solve a problem, whatever, I just say it the same way every time. I need some help here, Lord, because I don't know what to do.
Right.
And I do that a lot because I don't know what to do a lot.
Right. You know, as go ahead, Buckley.
The more we're faithful, the easier it will be to yield to what God wants us to do. Yesterday was a prime example. I am asking every rider in my taxi, just about every rider, if you could ask God for one thing, what would you ask Him? And that has opened up lots of great conversations. I had a young man in my cab, and I was thinking, should I or shouldn't I? And I was thinking on the negative, and all of a sudden it was like, trust me, do it. And I did it, and it was awesome. It just opened up. So we need to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord, you know,
yeah.
The prompting.
Yes.
And the more we do it, the more it will happen.
Yeah. And our mindset always needs to be, go to the Lord every time. So I was thinking as I was putting these notes together, that's probably what faith looks like. it looks like going to God with everything, instantly. And so, anyway. Verse 12 says this, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Paul wants to come to them so he and them can be encouraged by faith. His faith to encourage them, and their faith to encourage his faith to encourage them, and their faith to encourage him. I've been encouraged just by seeing people here. Now, I didn't understand it really until I was into this study. They didn't have to say a word to me. They just were here. And that was encouraging to me. And just seeing them. And so I didn't put a label on that, but I was encouraged by it. As I read this, I realized it was their faith that encouraged me. Because it was their faith that brought them here. And so here they are, because of their faith. And I'm encouraged when I see them. It's their faith that encouraged me. Our faith can be so encouraging to everyone around us. And so, you know, we talk about telling people things. Giving people experiences like, you know, Buckley just gave his experience. Testimony, if you will. But I don't think we do that very much. You know, we're talking about letting our light shine. And how will anybody know our light is shining? How will anybody know? Tom talked about giving. How's anybody going to know that? How's anybody going to see the faith behind that? How's anybody going to see the faith behind anything we do? And maybe that's why Jesus says we are to let our light shine. Because through that we see and are encouraged by faith. David.
So when you talk about asking God to show us His will in our lives, it reminds me of prayer without ceasing. You know, we have that constant conversation, well, with God, and then it's more natural when I make decisions not just to say, be God, when there's a blessing, but that constant conversation with God.
Now, right.
You know, I think that's that constant conversation. Remembering that every breath is a blessing from God. We're not sufficient in ourselves. We are created beings. We're only here because God has made us. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited about us having babies. It reminds us who made us.
Right. So the if our mindset is I'm going to go here, here, and here, if the Lord wills. Now, if we do that, if the Lord does will, and we do that, and we succeed, I'm going to go to this place and buy and sell and profit, and we succeed. How far away is the recognition of, that God blessed you in that? It has to be, because it was His will was the only way you got there. So it's a whole process. So Lord, if it's Your will, I'm going to go here and here. I'm going to do some things, and I'm going to try to profit. And if it does happen, then it was the Lord's will that you went. And how can you then deny it was the Lord's will that you profited? You really can't. And so you will be grateful for all of it. And as we read in Romans 1, starting in 19, because what may be known of God, because although they knew God, they did not glorify God as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And that's in the last part of verse chapter 1. And so we're seeing a great contrast of what we're talking about and what Paul is going to describe later. Any comment?
Well, I think that's a good
encourage to tell me each and every time that you can help shine your light to others just by showing up, just like you were saying.
Yeah.
Just by being there. Just, that it takes commitment, but God gives us the ability at times to take those commitments.
And with what Dustin was talking about earlier, with Blue River and now maybe Clinton, when those kids get together and they see, hey, you know, God is more than just in my family and my congregation. God is bigger than that, you know. It's a good thing. Any other comments? Verse 14. Somebody read something, another version besides Dustin. What do you have? Okay. Somebody else give me verse 14. Go ahead, David.
I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish.
How many of you have the word debtor? Okay, that's what I have. Okay, yeah. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. And I think that paints a better picture for me. Someone go to Psalms 116, verse 12. Alan's halfway there already, so we'll wait for you, Alan. Psalms 116:12. Who'll go to 1 Corinthians 4:7? Who will do that? Dustin's going to do that. And who will go to 1 John 3:16? Okay. Ethan's going to do that. Go ahead, Alan.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?
So what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? So it sounds like a payback. I have received all these benefits from the Lord. So what shall I render to the Lord? Go ahead, Dustin.
1 Corinthians 4:7. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?
Okay. We don't have anything that we have that did not come from God. 1 John 3:16.
We don't live by this, that he took down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Okay. He even laid down his life for us. So, everything we have, even salvation, even our relationship with God, has been given to us. So what shall we render to the Lord? So he's a debtor. So in this world we live in, it's hard not to be a debtor. You know, everybody, who's a debtor? Okay. And who is a debtor? Who owes money? And if you pay taxes, you're a debtor. Because you owe someone. If you own real estate, you owe, you're a debtor. Now, not paying a debt brings about fear. You owe money on your house, we'll say. You're a debtor on your house. Is there fear when you don't make a house payment? You don't make a house payment? Going to get the mail changes things when you haven't made a house payment. Because you wonder, when's the letter going to come and all this stuff.
You can miss two in a row.
You can miss two in a row without getting a letter. After one. Yeah. So getting the mail is a whole different deal. And there's a lot of fear involved.
What?
No. No, he said we could. He said we could miss two. Did you guys hear that? So there is fear when you have not made your house payment. fear can be spiritually healthy. Who can think of a verse that talks about fear? Your spirituality and fear.
Fear of the Lord is a
problem. Okay, that's true. There's another one.
Even perfect love casts out
fear. That's good. We're getting it. The work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So fear can be spiritually healthy if it leads us to obedience. Obedience is good. But is that the way Christians should live their whole life? Should we live that way? No. How should we live?
Love.
Exactly. 1 John 4:17 through 19. Who will read that? Go ahead.
In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like Him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet he hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother,
okay. So complete love is the ultimate goal. The supreme motivation, because later on it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because God is love, who can be more in line with the will of God than the one who is complete in love? The more we love, the more godly we become. We'll never be not debtors. We'll always owe God. But that shouldn't be our motivation. Our whole motivation. How much better is a bondservant? So, and we looked at last week, he said, "I'm a bondservant." Now he says, "I'm a debtor." How much better is a bondservant or a debtor that loves and has a great desire to do God's will through love than one who is motivated purely by obligation? Now, who hasn't been in the workforce? Do you see a difference in employees? Yeah, there is. So what is that difference? What can make that difference? Motivation. Exactly. I mean, they're all working for the same people, they're all working for the same paycheck, but what is it that some have different than others that make them a better employee? It's the motivation. The one I thought about was the verse that says, "Do all in the name of the Lord." So, we're to do all we do in the name of the Lord. Are you kidding? Okay. Through the love of God. So, here we are back to love. I love God. And God says, do all you do in the name of the Lord. So my motivation is perfected by the love of God. And my motivation is then to do all in the name of the Lord. How can I not be a good employee? A good debtor? A good bondservant? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and it is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so Paul brings us back to faith here. But the power of God to those who believe, that's the gospel, is the power of God to those who believe. And in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, in verse 9 or 18, he starts a whole new path in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the gospel is righteousness. God's righteousness is revealed. I found that interesting. God's righteousness is the power to save. Go ahead.
I have here the book of Romans up here at the top. I have the theme of the book of Romans is the righteousness of God.
That's right. I'm going to try to quickly get through this. It is revealed. Oh, David, what did you have? Sorry.
Second verse 16 says, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. When you think about who he's writing to, the church in Rome, that's the seat of the emperor. You know, and even by this time, emperors who died were declared gods by the Senate. So here is the center of pagan worship, because the Caesar, you know, the emperor was also the high priest of the pagan Roman gods. You know, so this not being ashamed really ties to their context and situation. Here they are in the capital city, and there are going to be persecutions in that city while the apostle is still alive, and Paul and Peter probably both be martyred there as well. So it's no small thing to say I'm not ashamed.
Right.
When you're out in the hinterland versus in the capital.
Yeah. It goes on to say, in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is revealed from those who have faith, and the gospel is preached. Life comes from God to those who have faith. The just shall live by faith. This may sound like the just shall be just because faith directs their lives. Our lives are directed by faith, but I think the verse really says the just shall live by faith, or by faith the just shall live. Life comes to those who have faith. The just shall live by faith and have it by or because of their faith. We are not saving ourselves because we have faith, but we are not disqualifying ourselves because we do not have faith. David.
I just went back to Habakkuk 2:4, which is quoting, and Habakkuk, for I see the enemy is puffed up, his desire is not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness.
Yes. Now, I don't think that means the righteous person necessarily will direct his life and live by faithfulness. I think it's true too, but I think his life will come because of his faithfulness.
And in the context, you say, what are you
doing? Right.
The person's faith is going to desire to please God and live a righteous life.
Right. Any comments? I didn't imagine I would get this much faith material out of Romans, because I've taught it before. And I was telling last week that I'm getting different things this time. Completely different things. It's very interesting. Did I talk?
God, or it's kind of
it's really quite different, even though Muslims believe in God.
They don't believe. They're not. They don't believe in Christ.
They don't believe in Christ. They believe in Muhammad.
Yeah. Any other comments, David?
I spent 2 different 1-year periods in Saudi Arabia. I'm going to Saudi Arabia to one of two people, either Muslim or not. That's what it says. And you come into the country, that's all they care about.
What? That's what says. A sign or?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, they don't care what you are, unless you're Muslim. Because if you're not, you're not. All right, thank you very much. Let's pray, and I see kids walking around. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction it gives us for life. And we pray, Father, that you have softened the hearts of those here, and your word has made a difference in their lives, their attitudes, their outlook, and their behavior. We pray, Father, that you'll protect us from Satan. We pray, Father, that you'll bless everyone here and protect the elders as they guide the church and the teachers of the class. Anybody that is doing a good work, Father, we know is at risk, and we pray that you'll protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.